What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I thought we were going to talk about one thing, but it looks like now we're going to talk about something entirely different. I just want you to know, it was going to be, what was your favorite game? I mean, I assume for most people's Commanders and Bucks, or number one takeaway from Super Wild Card Weekend besides Justin Herbert. We'll get to him in just a minute. But instead, I know the people in this room and Alec are fascinated by my headphones. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, the soon-to-be more famous Alec Medford. And yes, if you thought I was throwing a temper tantrum at the end of Friday's show by not having Corey, Zach, and Eric on, I did really break my headphones. It was the connector to the quarter inch. I bent it to the point where it was like, not hanging on anymore.
And did your knee hit the thing or something?
Yeah. Okay,
that makes sense. That happens to me all the time too.
And so now everyone made fun of my big headphones. Now I have little headphones, which apparently is causing a lot of people concern about how weird I look.
You look like you tried on one of Noah's tiny hats.
Yeah, it doesn't. And those are normal headphones. I guess we've gotten used to you having
another pair of headphones.
That when you were doing crosstalk, I didn't realize it. I was like, did he shave his head? Like, something looks different about Kevin. And it's just the regular size headphones that make him look like, I was just calling him right before break, the Big Show or something. Like, he's...
Like, it's not that you have a giant head. It's just that we're used
to. You look like you have a giant head because you've made your huge earpieces look normal size now.
Yeah, it's like, Mike, it's like swinging a bat with a donut on it. You know, you got this feeling for so long that you're just used to it. Now we look that and it's lightweight for us.
Yeah, so. Or you give Aaron Judge a 30-inch bat. You'd be like, wait, what the crap is going on? This doesn't look right.
I'm going to switch these headphones out in the break.
You look weird. And to be honest, you look weird today.
You sound great, though, and that's important because the Tolos notice right now. And thank you, Tolos, for dealing with what we did last week and letting Kevin get back at it. You sound a lot better, man.
And in case you're curious about the future, I do still have two ear, nose, and throat appointments set up. One of them's tomorrow. So we'll see if there's anything long-term that's an issue there. But to the playoffs, I don't know if it's your favorite game, number one takeaway from Super Wild Card Weekend. Where do you guys want to start? Because there's a lot of different avenues that we can attack here.
I will honestly want to start with the fact that last night's game was the most exciting game of the entire weekend. And going into the weekend, I told Mike and you and Alec and everybody else, the whole world, that was the game I was least excited to watch. Like, I cared the least about that game, and it turned out to be the most interesting of the games. And good God, is Jaden Daniels comfortable? He looks like he's been playing in the league for years. He just looks like he's...
He's as comfortable as Zion sitting out a basketball game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, except for, you know, not eating on the sideline. But yeah, he looks like he belongs in those moments. And I'm not... I'm actually not shocked by it, honestly. Watching what he did in college, seeing what he's done all season, he just looks like he's here and we got to deal with it.
Okay, I'm not disagreeing with you whatsoever. Let me just ask a question. Would that narrative still be out there today if it weren't for the Tampa fumble? Like, I agree with you that Jaden Daniels looks like he's going to be problematic for a while, but they didn't convert on fourth and goal. Did they get jobbed on a no-call pass interference in the end zone? I think that's a very fair argument to make, but they didn't get it. Tampa Bay gets the ball back, and then pretty quickly they fumble. If it weren't for that fumble, would that narrative be going today, or would people be like, I don't know. Maybe I've been given Baker Mayfield S for way too long.
Asking. No, you are right. That's the fairness, or I should say the unfairness of NFL playoffs. And I thought Jaden Daniels, I know that the guy was pass interfered on that fourth down. Yes. And then, I don't know, 2-3 plays later, you have the fumble. Is his, I believe his running back, if you rewatch that play, out to the left. He takes off to the left as soon as the ball snapped. He's open immediately. Now, you had to hit it immediately because I feel like Tampa, as the guy was running his route, getting closer to the end zone, picked him up. But that was maybe that Baker Mayfield fumble. If that doesn't happen, to your point, we're looking at Baker Mayfield going, oh, he won a playoff game. Uh-huh. And now you're looking at Washington going, really good team. It looks like they have a bright future. But probably just being a rookie quarterback in the playoffs, maybe just a little too big. He had moments, but not the moment you needed late in the game. But to your point, that doesn't matter. They won, so now Jaden Daniels is a winner in the playoffs.
And maybe that was the most evenly matched comp.
One win away from Dak Prescott.
Yeah, maybe it was the most evenly matched. You know what? I want to play a game. I want to play a game tomorrow.
Okay.
And Atolos, let me know if y'all would be in on this game. We try to not mention the Cowboys in non-Cowboys segments. Do you think that... I'm dead serious. I was thinking about this last night, and if we do, then one of us has to jump off of the roof of the building. I don't know what the payoff is on this.
With the parachute?
Maybe something
I'll
lighter.
I'll be jumping off the roof because I take shots at the Cowboys in these moments.
No.
I wonder if we could play... if we tally it up and see at the end of the week who mentioned the Cowboys and non-Cowboys segments the most and just see how that goes. But I'm sorry I didn't bring this up in the conference room. I should have done that, not on air. But yeah, it was probably the most evenly matched playoff game after everything was said and done with that we got. Because the AFC had a bunch of teams that were really good at the top that got some really good matchups.
And I know you brought this up Thursday or Friday, Mike, and this will really hurt our gameplay tomorrow. If Washington defeats Detroit, I know that'll be a pretty sizable underdog. But if Washington defeats Detroit, then it will be the Cowboys who have the longest streak in the NFC without making it to the NFC championship game. And correct me if I'm wrong, that makes you a Washington fan this weekend, does it not?
A good question. So I should probably speak since we're on radio. Because I'm thinking about it. I guess I'm more of a Detroit fan. Okay. I like Dan Campbell. He is a former Cowboy. Detroit, I get Washington has been just in the crapper for a long time. 2005 was the last time they won a playoff game.
I think it was
2006, okay. With Mark Brunell, I believe they said, as their quarterback. Correct. Who has a big Mark Brunell fan, being a current left-hander. And honestly, Mark Brunell's a current left-hander, too. I'm going for Detroit.
Okay.
But I see your point of if Washington does this, at least Cowboy fans will just throw up, but it doesn't matter. Is now you'll be the worst in the NFC, the longest streak. And, you know, my opinion, I do think this gets close to what Detroit had from the 1950s to 2023. I do think that's what you're in for, Dallas Cowboy fans. The Detroit era of football. You'll make the playoffs a lot more than Detroit did from the 50s to 2023. But
I'm always interested in a team.
Detroit that, making it back-to-back.
I'm always interested in a team that built their way to something and then gets to that point where they can't get over the hump and how they approach that. Do they say, we're going to stick with what we got and what got us here? We're going to add small elements? Or they go, you know what, maybe Jared Goff isn't it for us, and we got to make something different happen there. So that's where I want to see Detroit, you know, finish this, because I like Dan Campbell so much.
Yeah, and then I see people adding in, you could still potentially get an all NFC East conference championship, yeah. And that makes them sick. I was actually looking it up. It's been a while since you've had multiple NFC East teams win playoff games in a playoff where the Cowboys didn't even advance to the playoffs. And so, like, this is as rough as it's been for, I think I've looked, it's been like since 08, 09, or 08. It's been a while. And so it's kind of a bummer that not only did you not even make the playoffs, but both of the teams have advanced to the final eight, and you're just sitting there going, hey, we were four games out of the playoffs.
The other thing that I think captured our hearts and our minds, and that's very important in this world, is, Kevin, you predicted a blowout from the Baltimore Ravens, and I'll quite honestly say that was a over-the-knee, bare-hand spanking. Like, that definitely was a spanking from Baltimore against Pittsburgh.
Which
I turned it off at halftime.
And that's
like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And that's fair. Like, it ended up being a 14-point game, and the Ravens were driving.
Wasn't really ever that close.
To close the game out, and they just decided to kneel the ball. They could have ended that game. I mean, I'm to your point, Mike, I'm with you. When it was 21-0 at halftime, I was like, this game will not be competitive in the second half. And at no point to me did it feel particularly competitive. Did you see the note, though? There are early rumblings that Zay Flowers might miss another week. Mm. Now, it's going to be a totally different story. At least you would think it's going to be a totally different story against Buffalo, because that's what I'm most excited about. That was my number one takeaway from all these games this weekend. I didn't care who won what or whatever. I needed to see Baltimore.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Or against Buffalo, so then you know at least one of those teams will most likely play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. Sorry, Houston. I mean, like, do your best. Try really hard out there. But you get the matchup that you want to see, and you know you're going to get a version, I would think, of the AFC Championship game that you want to see. And if you don't, well, hell, we'll have a whole different set of things to talk about next Monday.
Can you imagine if they were able to take down Buffalo without Zay Flowers, though, and be able to do, like, they do what they did, run the ball effectively. They just, they're a powerhouse, and then they're like, oh, yeah, now we've added this bat to our lineup, too. Don't forget, Isaiah Likely almost stiff-armed somebody into Bolivian. It actually happened. I saw it. I know Bolivian's not the right word. But, like, that stiff arm was amazing. And they looked like the tougher. They looked like the tougher, more physical team. And that's not, like, usually Pittsburgh matches it. And Baltimore's ready for it right now.
Yeah, the opposite of the Denver-Buffalo game, where it was competitive at halftime, but you're like, gosh, I guess Denver's in this game because all they have to do is score a touchdown and then they would be back in the lead. And then by the time you got midway through the fourth quarter, you're like, this is a blowout. And how did Denver score to start the game and then look like a team that won five games this year?
They ran out of plays. I don't know.
They put all their plays into that first drive.
Honestly, my opinion on that is they're just not quite ready yet. Like, there were a couple plays where Sean Payton was furious that they didn't execute the way that they needed to on certain plays, but Bo Nix looked fine. He looked like he looked not as comfortable as Jaden Daniels does, But he looked like, there's some good things, some really good qualities about this quarterback you're going to have to deal with for a while. But Buffalo just, and I've never seen a team just look like it was the... That's what it looks like when your dad goes out there and plays you when you're 5 years old in basketball.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like. He's out there just kind of shooting shots, and you're just like, "What is happening right now? Why, I'm trying as hard as I can."
So I've just discovered something that we have a new biggest winner of the weekend, and it is Jim Murphy. Do you know who Jim Murphy is?
Oh yeah, Atlanta Braves.
No, that's Dale Murphy.
MVPs. No, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with
former
that.
Former Rangers left fielder.
No, oh, yeah. That's David Murphy.
Right.
No, Jim Murphy is the author of the book Inner Excellence. If you go to Amazon right now,
sold out.
The number one bestseller in all of books is Inner Excellence. Train Your Mind for Extraordinary Performance in the Best Life Possible, Best Possible Life by Jim Murphy. It is the number one book on all of Amazon right now.
It was released May 1st, 2020.
This book is almost 5 years old.
Right in the middle of COVID.
Right in the COVID. He was like, let's release a book.
He COVID this book.
People are looking for something to read right now.
Now, I really want to know, what were the book sales? Did the book sales like actually thrive during COVID and everything? Or has this thing been a clunker ever since it came out? And now it's
like it's at half price books. Like, let's say it was $24 hardcover.
Yeah.
And it's at half price books for like $15. But if you had it and brought it in there, they'd say they'd give you 10 cents for it.
Yes. Yes.
It's an amazing thing. I got all these books I want to sell. And they're like, all right, we'll buy these 20 books for $1.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I'm going to go shop. These books must be really cheap. And you're like, hey, it says half price. These aren't even half price. These are more than half price.
From from Todd on Amazon, Kevin, he said, AJ Brown recommended this book, so I'm looking forward to reading this. And then I can't read what he said, but it is their saying. In 2021, Deanne, said, I wish I'd read this book 50 years ago. A lot of these, Kevin, are in 2024. In 2021. So a lot of the reviews are coming from there.
Hey, if you're looking for a steal of a deal today, probably because of the popularity of the reading on the sideline, you can get the Audible audiobook of Inner Excellence today. Normally, $24.95. Low price, 99 cents.
So that's what you have to do if today. You're an author. You just find an athlete that's in the playoffs and say, read this on the sideline. And then your book's going to go nuts.
And apparently he already has a...
What team does JaVale McGee play for? Because that dude, he drinks milkshakes and reads books on the sideline.
You imagine that Boach is sitting there and he's just holding a book in his hand, hanging it over the thing during the World Series. Everybody in Texas is buying that book.
By the way, it already has a blurb on the book from Stuart Sink.
Of course it does.
Former British Open champion. Yeah. So who knew?
And John Dishwasher.
I know... Don't know that to be the case, but that is very clever.
Boach reads the book, How to Be the Best, and then Rebound After a Tough Year.
And then he's like, oh, I wrote this book, guys. Don't worry about it.
That's our hope too here. Is that like, how to be the best, and then rebound. Not be very good, and then be awesome again.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, after another spectacular playoff failure, will Justin Herbert finally get more national scrutiny? Let's do that next right here in the Fan.
Herbert looking, firing left side, and intercepted. Murray across the 20, 15, 10, 5, rock and roll, pick six. NRG Stadium is rocking as Eric Murray makes a house call. The Texans up two scores.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're going to get to Justin Herbert in just a second, but first I want to go over to... I guess the faux Corey news desk for an update that you don't really think is an update.
Is this what Dawson refers to as media watchdog here? Mike, you worked with him for a while. All right. So Adam Schefter has tweeted out, and I want you to go back and find the Ian Rapoport one from Friday. I think it was Ian Rapoport on Friday, but Adam Schefter's tweeted out with Cowboys head. Listen closely to the wording. With Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy eligible to talk to other teams after midnight Tuesday. That's tomorrow.
Okay.
There still haven't been any negotiations on a new deal with Dallas per sources, which was the case on Friday, whenever there was no negotiations, but we were told they kind of agreed that they're ready to move on with each other. Here's the rest of it. It's now looking like McCarthy will indeed become a coaching free agent, with Chicago and New Orleans both expected to be interested in speaking with him. This is not an update from Friday. This is the same information we knew on Friday. Hey, Tuesday night's the deadline, and we'll see what happens after that. More likely, Jerry's going to let this thing drag out as long as he possibly can, because that's what he wants. Did you hear anywhere the Cowboys have moved on and are prepared to do a new coaching search?
No.
You did not hear that Mike McCarthy has agreed to any nothing is different than we needed to update the 24-hour news cycle because it's Monday. We went into Friday with the news, and now we're coming out of Monday hot with the news as well, because they need to stick in the headlines. Sorry. It frustrates me, Kevin, how this organization puts this first rather than saying we got to make sure we have everything in order for this team, because we need to have the best team out there.
But you think there'll be people out there who will breathlessly catch wind of this and be like, oh my God, yeah. update.
He might, you know what? He might go interview with Chicago and New Orleans and then come back and say, well, here's the offers I've got, Jerry. Are they as good? When Larry Allen wanted out or wanted to seek free agency, they said, go out there and look, see what you can find, and then come back and talk to us.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys are a lot like that. If you can find a deal that says that I can't pay you that, then I'll pay you that. Otherwise, you're going to try and agree to my terms. And if they're trying to work some other terms with him and McCarthy's like, I don't like that at all, then he needs leverage. He needs Chicago. He needs New Orleans on his side.
And I keep thinking, I don't know how often this plays into your leverage. And this is just me speaking as a fan. I don't know if the Cowboys feel this way at all. If Mike McCarthy, let's say 12:01, it's in the middle of the night tomorrow, or maybe don't think it's the middle of the night, 12:01 a.m., technically Wednesday, Mike McCarthy signs a deal with the Saints.
Or agrees to a deal.
Yeah, or agrees to a deal with the Bears. You know what my reaction to that would be? All right, that's fine. I don't know if that's problematic for his leverage, because that's just what I think. I don't know what the Jones family thinks, but that feels like that would be problematic for your leverage. That if that person left, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's frustrating. It's frustrating with this team. Sorry.
Now.
Sorry, Cowboys fans.
Speaking of frustrating, let's talk about Justin Herbert. I feel like we have been on the right side of this and being ahead of... We're not afraid to criticize Justin Herbert. But I think it was Blogging the Boys, and I apologize if I'm getting the credit wrong on this. Two days ago, said, what will be the national media's reaction after Justin Herbert blows another playoff game? And it's interesting because he's only had two playoff games. Both losses have gone down in absolutely spectacular fashion. He was ahead. Him and the Chargers were ahead of the Jaguars in 2022, 27-0, and they lost. And then you look back at the game this weekend. Justin Herbert threw four interceptions. I realize one of them's not on him, but still, four interceptions. All regular season, he had thrown three.
Okay.
So both of the losses are, you throw as many interceptions or more as you have all regular season, and the other one was you gave up a four-touchdown lead. And those are your two playoff games. Do you think he will finally kind of get more scrutiny? Because I feel like people pick on him here and there, but not as much as you might think for a golden boy quarterback who hasn't panned out.
No, he plays for the Chargers.
And so nobody cares.
Right. Let me ask you, did people pick on number one overall pick in 1990, if I have it right, Jeff George?
Not really. Because who I think of with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Jeff George had all of this talent and ability, but it never worked except for 1 year, it might have been 2 years, with Minnesota. Because he had Chris Carter and Randy Moss and Robert Smith, and it was just like, hey, you have a great arm. Just throw it as far as you can and watch Randy Moss go run it down. You know, Chris Carter has unbelievable hands. Just throw it 1,000 miles an hour, and even if it's a little bit off target, he'll just snatch it out of the air for you. And so I feel like Herbert, to me, is the modern-day Jeff George. One, He's not going to get picked on because the Chargers really don't have a fan base. And I mean, I'm telling you, I don't even think they have a million fans.
Like real fans.
I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I don't know if they have 1 million fans in the United States of America, because I think most people in San Diego said, screw you guys. A few stuck with them. I don't think the city of LA or in around that area was like, I'm going to be a Chargers fan. No, they got the Rams back. If you were a fan, you're like, we got the Rams back from St. Louis. My dad was a Rams fan, or my grandfather from Los Angeles area was a Rams fan. So they have so few fans. They don't move the needle at all.
That's what
on ESPN or NFL Network. So yeah, he has had a disappointing career. He stinks in the playoffs. But it's the Chargers.
I wanted to look at their pass attempts and versus their rush attempts in this game, because I felt like they went against what they were for most of the season, and they had 510 pass attempts this year to 463. And that's what 52% of theirs was passing the ball, which is a very balanced game. It felt like this game was more, hey, let's put it on Ladd, and let's put it on Justin Herbert to win this game. And maybe, you know, they only had, 16 rush attempts in this game? That's not the way that they played football this year. So they changed the way, and granted, late in the game, they were having to try and throw the ball a lot more, but I felt that way early in that game, too.
So I don't know if you saw this, but what Mike is pointing at is literally what you said, Corey, would play out. You said this would play out like 5 minutes ago, is the way it's played out. Now, I realize that ESPN is also going to push this if it's from Schefter, because that's his thing.
Yep.
But what are they talking about right now?
Breaking news.
The breaking news is that Mike McCarthy is eligible to talk to teams after midnight Tuesday.
That was always the case.
That's been the case in his contract for years and years and years.
It's not breaking.
But
do you feel like they have this set up like last night, like ESPN and Adam Schefter, I'm just saying their producers or whatever, say, hey, at approximately 10:30, like this is our first take show. These are our segments. We want you to throw this out at this time. And kind of get confirmation from probably Mike McCarthy's agent, I'm going to guess.
Sure.
Is just like, they already has it. He's just like, I just know exactly what time to put it out. So we are going to break news at 10:30. We've been doing this show for, I think, an hour and a half. We've been talking about the football games. Now let's jam a huge Cowboy topic in there that's going to sound like, oh my gosh, can you believe this is happening?
Go look at Twitter right now and see all the quote tweets on the Adam Schefter thing right now. A lot of people... they're not negotiating with him. They haven't been. That's just the case. That's just the way that it is. It's not anything new.
And so this is what I think when it comes to why Herbert doesn't get more criticism. Because, and by the way, he deserves more criticism. He really does. And just the Chargers don't move the needle at all.
Right.
And everything the Cowboys do seems to move the needle somehow, some way. And then I did see somebody text this, and this is the vibe that I kind of want to get into, because I still think that this is the point from the 682. Herbert is better than Dak. This will never be false. Okay. And this is somebody who I just think accepts the narratives of football and doesn't decide to do any of the research themselves.
Somebody else did text in and say, I never want to hear y'all say that Dak's not better than Herbert again.
Okay.
So there's two different sides of this coin here.
And I've been on the train for a long time. It's not that I didn't even dive into the Dak Herbert thing. I just didn't like the idea that Herbert was just a top 5 or 6 quarterback no matter what, because he just was. Okay.
Because of the talent.
Yeah, exactly.
He has supreme talent to most NFL quarterbacks.
And I don't dispute that whatsoever. But let's take a look. Are we so sure? You're so sure that Justin Herbert is better than Dak Prescott. And I'm not saying he isn't. But for the people who are like, that's a stupid conversation, what do you think Justin Herbert's career record is?
500.
41-40.
That's above 500.
That is true.
Well above.
He's 40. I don't know about that.
He's going to stay above 500.
It's a whole game.
Yeah, until at least one September. More game.
Okay, that's a great point.
Whole game right there.
So he was the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2020, and he's made the Pro Bowl one other whole time. So, look out. Here are his QBRs since he's been in the league. 11th, 5th, 11th, 3rd, and 13th. All right? So if you average that out, clearly that's going to be outside the top 5 or 6. But if you come at me with, well, he was 5th last year, wasn't he? Great. Dak was 2nd. So my point just is...
And 2nd in MVP voting.
Yes, I'm well aware of that. Although I will point out, in 2021, when Herbert was 3rd in QBR, Dak was 11th. So obviously, advantage Herbert. But you look at a lot of these years. Herbert in 2022 was 11th. Dak was 12th. So...
Are you defending Dak Prescott here, or are you just trying to have a conversation about facts?
I'm trying to have a conversation about facts.
Okay.
And what I would like people to just not assume as the narrative is Justin Herbert is automatically in a class above Dak Prescott. And if you tell me he clearly has better arm talent or the physical traits or whatever.
I'll agree with you.
I hear you. And that's great. How did that work out for Jeff George? How did that work out for Ryan Leaf? I'm not saying Justin Herbert's in that same category. But right now, if you're a Chargers fan this morning, do you think you're like, yeah, but don't worry about it because he's got the prototypical size and arm strength we need? Or are you saying, what the crap in hell? He threw as many interceptions, even if you don't blame him for one of them. He threw as many interceptions in that playoff game as he did all regular season. That's a problem.
During the C block today, Kevin, during hits and misses, I do have a hit regarding his completions we'll discuss in the C block today. But somebody also said, you know, Herbert's so much better than Dak, he doesn't get injured. We have to factor that in. Dak didn't get injured until his second contract, really.
Yeah. Justin Herbert is in that part of the time.
It was time for his second contract, and he got injured, and the Cowboys paid him. That was bad on their part, okay? The thing we were saying before that, though, was when we were arguing Dak versus Carson Wentz, it was Dak's there. He's physically there. He's available. And Jerry would throw out availabilities. And we were like, look, yeah, we agree with you on that, Jerry. Now, he's at a point where his body is starting to have problems with that. That's just where Dak is at this point. But he's an older quarterback, too. He's at that age where that's going to happen.
And people conflate conversations that I actually think are two different conversations. Would you rather have Justin Herbert or Dak Prescott right now? I can definitely see how the answer is Justin Herbert, because if nothing else,
he's
5 or 6 years younger than Dak Prescott. I agree with that, but that's not the conversation I'm having. I'm saying your quarterback hierarchy of who's the best right now. I think Herbert slides on a lot of this just because, and when people bring up his age, they're like, just wait to see what he becomes. And he might. But he doesn't get as much flack as he probably should. And part of that, going back to Mike's original point, is who gives a crap about the Chargers?
Mike, ex-Cowboy on the Twitch, said, what the crap in hell? And then posted a picture of you wearing your huge headphones. And I missed those.
That's fair. We have a set of huge headphones.
I'll tell you what,
I've
always made fun of your huge headphones. You don't look right in these. you don't. Something is way off with Kevin.
We have a pair of big headphones in here. I'll see if I can try those on.
You got plastic surgery this weekend.
And let me add one other thing. Somebody said, let's talk in 5 years. I didn't read. I'll read the rest of it later. But
that's not the point. No, that's not the conversation we're having.
Here's what I'll tell you about that. In 5 years or so, we'll probably go, yeah, and neither of them had championships, and that's where they're defined the most. And that's where we'll end things.
And probably they were quarterbacks in the NFL. That's the tough part.
They played quarterback in the NFL.
And I just want to say, that's literally not the conversation we're having at all.
One played for the most highly marketed team in the NFL, and one played for a team that didn't have any fans.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, new headphones, but also baseball nuggets with Mike Bassett.
It's Sasaki week, and are the long-term contracts done this offseason? Next.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, where, yes, I legitimately switched out my headphones in the break because somebody put a sweet WCW Rick Steiner burn on me when he had his little wrestling helmet on. And I was like, okay, I need to switch out my headphones.
Michigan jacket.
Yes.
Yeah, you looked like whenever I would put on my kid's sunglasses. You know, like it was just a little bit small. But now it kind of looks right.
Or
almost.
The style back when Michael Jordan won a championship is he had sunglasses that literally just covered his eyes. Yeah. And that was it.
Or like his mustache where it was just like just barely on his lip.
If you had any other sweet burns you wanted to throw out there, shout out to Kevin Gray. I know you're listening. Appreciate it, buddy. Now it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
Okay, so on MLB.com, there's an article that says seven free agents who are better than you think. Now, number one, they have these guys. They do go into further detail. They just said, here are the best free agents remaining. Suzuki, number three overall free agent in the offseason before it started, right? You had Juan Soto, number one. But he hasn't been able to sign yet. Wednesday is the first day that he can sign. My conspiracy theory is that the Dodgers had a deal done back in October with
him.
It's
hard to argue against that.
And I think because they saved $2.5 million of their international spending money from last year and weren't able to use it, because I think MLB stepped in and said, hey, you shouldn't have been able to. I'm just assuming this. Like, you shouldn't have been able to do that. So then the Dodgers just didn't spend $2.5 million on prospects, as far as I could tell. Maybe they did, and I just missed it at the end.
But the money was bookended there.
Everybody thought that.
And they had by far the most money available for that.
And so I don't think he'll sign Wednesday with the Dodgers, because that would look maybe a little fishy too. So I think he's going to wait at least till Friday, maybe early next week, is when Suzuki will make up his mind. From what we've understood, at least from his agent, is when the signing period starts on Wednesday, Suzuki's probably going to pick his team very quickly.
Can you, and I don't want to derail where else you're going to go with this, but can you just walk through how humongous it would be if he's like, I'm going with the Rangers?
It would probably be as big as Yu Darvish signing here.
Okay.
And now Yu Darvish is a little bit different, because there was like a whatever that was, the hey, I'm picking the Rangers because they paid my team the most money, and now there's a negotiation. But you knew every time you did that, you won the player. You just didn't know the years and the money they're signing to. Suzuki would be coming in as a guy that you have 6 years of control
Unbelievable.
Of. So you would, I don't know if you'd be paying him league minimum. I guess you could. You can maybe give him a little bit more than that, but you'd be getting a dude that would be a signing bonus, but then you're just paying them kind of what you'd be paying Cody Bradford next year. Number five, Alex Bregman. We haven't heard tons about Alex Bregman. We've heard rumors here and there. Then you have Anthony Santander last year, who had 40-plus home runs, 100-plus RBIs. The second-best hitter for Baltimore, you could argue maybe the best, but Gunnar Henderson would probably have something to say about that, who finished top five in MVP voting. But he's great. I heard so many people around baseball last year, especially at the end of the year, just in love with Anthony Santander. Now, he's 30 years old. Pete Alonso is number eight, and Jack Flaherty is number 10. So it says here, right now, five of the top 10 free agents going into this offseason are still unsigned. And Tanner Scott, who's a very good relief pitcher, is number 11. So you have quite a few really good free agents still on the market. Suzuki's the only one that couldn't have signed yet. He was not allowed to sign yet. And it makes me wonder this. Did the teams that have the budget and the money give out their long-term contracts already? And people like, I don't know this, Bregman, Santander, and Alonso come to mind. Big-time, everyday players that can be in the middle of your lineup. And I will say this, all three of them are somewhat limited defensively. Alex Bregman's the best defensive player by far out of the three. Bregman won the Gold Glove. I think Gold Glove's a weird award. It has to do more on your offense than it does on your defense, even though it's supposed to be just a defensive award. Your offense plays a major role in getting it. But I'm just wondering if Alonso wants a six-year deal. I've heard Bregman wants around a six-year deal. And I'm just wondering if what's happening right now as we get to mid-January is agents are running up against, hey, we gave the long-term deal to Soto. You know, I know that wasn't a long-term deal to Eovaldi, but you just look around and Blake Snell, Corbin Burnes, some other big-time free agents. Everybody who is willing to do a five-plus year deal,
they're done.
I'm just wondering if now these guys are going to have to do kind of the Blake Snell and the Jordan Montgomery and whatever of last year, Cody Bellinger, where they get to a point where they get to close to February and go, here's the deal. The best I can get you is maybe a 3-year deal, but more likely a 2-year deal that maybe we can opt out of after year one.
Well, you pointed out Boris tried to get all his clients done quickly.
This year for them. I have to look at all of these clients and just see who their agents are.
But some of the big ones.
Soto.
He wanted to get those done real fast so that he could Snell. Be like, he didn't run into the same situation he ran into last year.
Yeah.
And I wonder if some of the other agents, and that might just be the case now. There are going to be a few that get signed early, and everybody else, good luck for that. Because that just seems how the way that the GMs roll with this.
Because I want to give it to you from the...
Wait until spring training, because that's when we have more leverage.
Perfect. And that's exactly what I think. If the teams... I get why Boris is like, hey, let's go the opposite way of last year. But how many teams do you think out there are like, and I know you're not supposed to do this, this is collusion, but how many teams out there do you think talk behind the scenes and they're like, hey, if we just wait this out until you know, the end of January, players will come to us and be ready to negotiate.
Now, I'll be honest. I'll be scared to death if the Rangers get to February 10th and they're reporting to spring training and they don't have a closer.
Yes.
That I'll go, oh, no.
But don't. You think they might be waiting for Sasaki,
I think so. I don't know this. I'm just going off of theories. It's always fun to kind of play general manager, I guess president or whatever now, is you just look at and go, I wonder why Chris Young on Foul Territory is a great interview. If you want to go back on YouTube and watch it, it's like a 23-minute interview. He was like, high leverage guys are Chris Martin, and they traded for Robert Garcia in the Nate Lowe trade. At least he feels like going into spring training, those are probably his two highest leverage guys, he thinks, that he can use in kind of the eighth inning. But he pretty much said they're not closers.
Right.
Right now, we'd have to do it by committee. If we had to play a game today, it would just be, hey, we got 8 guys out there and we have no effing clue who's going to close the game. We're just going to hope somebody shines in the moment. And maybe after a month, they stop shining and then we have to try somebody else. Or we just every day go off of matchups, and our matchups in the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning used our 3 best relievers, and we're in the 9th inning and we're just hoping this person, who's our 4th reliever in our pen, can get the biggest 3 outs of the game in a 1 or 2 run game. I don't think they want to go into that situation where you have no clue who's closing games and you don't even have anybody who's really ever done it in their career either. And not like Teodoro, and I'm not saying he should be, but you just look at him and go, well, maybe he does have closer stuff. He does not throw enough strikes to be a closer at this point,
because
but he does have the stuff to possibly be it later in his career.
And if his control had already clicked, that would be your guy.
I think so, unless you do believe he can give you 130 to 160 innings a year
as a starter.
Okay. But right now, you would look at your rotation and go, gosh, we have depth. Right now, I don't see how Kamar Rocker honestly makes the rotation unless there's an injury. And guess what? There probably will be.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to say that DeGrom, Eovaldi, Bradford, Malley, and Gray will all be healthy on March 27th to start the year. There'll probably be somebody who had a setback, somebody who needs a week or two to get ready for the season because they weren't. Something happened in spring training, and that would give Rocker a major opportunity to be in your rotation, or a Jack Leiter or somebody like that. But you look at some of these names, and I know I'm out of time, so I'll just say this real quick. Max Scherzer, I didn't get to him. I'm just wondering what he's looking at right now. We haven't heard anything about him. And remember how good of a year Profar had. Have you heard a team talk about Profar at all? It's almost like I think most teams are like, we get it, career year. We're not paying for that career year. We saw what you've done your whole career, and we are not believing that that is who you are now.
And if you're the player or the agent, obviously you're going to be like, no, that's the guy. Pay for that.
So then you're fighting all the people, general managers and presidents, going, you saw what he did. He was an all-star. He was a major contributor to the Padres. And it seems like maybe people like him are going to go, sign another 1-year deal. You do it again, maybe we'll believe it a little bit more.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I thought I was going to cough, and I tried to stop it. That's what happened just then. Coming up next, it was a couple of losses, but let's have the Mavs and Stars Super segment next right here on The Fan.